together. Give God praise. Give God praise. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Shake somebody before you sit down this evening. Give him a warm handshake on your right and on your left. Praise God. All right, today we are starting a teaching titled Frustrations. Before I start, how many people enjoyed the new guys today? Praise God. That was amazing. If those are the new guys, that was amazing. But some of them, you can tell that they are old singers. They are just new here. Praise God. But that was amazing. Do you want to appreciate them one more time? That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Well done. MK, who brought the idea to allow them to sing? The leaders just felt, let's all the new guys sing. You guys are trying. That's a good idea. That's a great idea. Thank you. For those that don't know, anytime I see something smart in church, I'm always interested in who brought the idea. Thinkers. Thinkers are important. So anytime I see anything good, I say, who is thinking? Who is thinking there? Point out the person. This one, you cover this as the leaders, so I can't. He wants to promote all of them together. But then any department I see changes. Any department I see everything the same way it is 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Yeah, sleep. When I see little changes that make a big difference, I'm interested in who is thinking there. So the day we have issues, we need somebody to crack. We look for the thinkers. Somebody go, what I'm saying? I've started my message. Tell you about be the thinker. Be the solution provider. Because you are either the problem or the person solving the problem. So if you're not solving the problem, guess what? You are the problem. Praise God. Okay, so today I'm just talking about frustrations. So let me ask your neighbor, have you been frustrated before? The answer is kind of simple, Abby. Some of you are even frustrated right now. We've all been frustrated before, man. But you see, my passion and the reason why I want to, you know, address this. We've not greeted in a while, though. Make sure you greet me after service. Did you travel? How come I've not seen you since? So make sure we see you after. You know, so... what was I saying? The issue with frustration is that, you know, it's about how people interpret it. That's where the challenge has been. Frustrations in themselves are not necessarily bad. It's just that most times people interpret them wrongly and now react wrongly. And in this life, you must master the art of properly interpreting the frustrations that you face. Some people see frustration as something is against them. Why me? I'm the only one. Don't think like that. Frustration in itself is not a bad thing. It is just calling your attention. Frustration is a pointer that something needs attention. Frustration is a pointer that you need new direction. Somebody getting what I'm saying? In itself, it's not bad, but many people see it as a bad thing. They see it as the enemy. They treat it like the enemy. Let me give you an example. You're driving to somewhere, to church, to work somewhere, and your car breaks down. It's a big frustration. You can see it as, oh, why me? Who is against me? Most times, it's not like that. If you check it well, you were ignoring or neglecting something you should have been doing. Somebody gets what I'm saying? It's just calling your attention. So frustration is not bad in itself. Stop seeing it as the enemy. Frustration is like fever. Doctors tell us that fever in itself is not a sickness. It's just a sign that something is wrong somewhere with your body. Somebody get what I'm saying? That's how frustration is. It's a sign that something is wrong. Something needs attention. So you must be able to, you know, recognize that frustration for what it is and interpret the signal it is giving you. Because it is giving you a signal. Hallelujah. The frustration is giving you what? A signal. So there are two or three major reactions people have to frustrations that are wrong. Two or three major reactions people have. I mean, it's default for most people, but they are the wrong way to react to frustrations. I'll run through one or two of them for you. Number one, a lot of people's first reaction to frustration is to exit. Exit, run away. Most Nigerians are like that. The first thing they think of when they see a frustration is to run. Your boss is stressing you. The first thing that comes to your mind is that, which kind of job is this? Can I get another job where nobody will annoy me? Is somebody getting this? So this is why some people want to exit their marriage, want to exit their relationship, want to exit their department in church, want to exit where they work, because that's the first reaction. Once there is frustration, let me run. And to be honest with you, sometimes exit might even be the right reaction, but you need to first analyze and interpret it before you take that decision. Don't allow exit be a default reaction. Listen, when you are facing a frustration, what I'm trying to tell you is this. When you're facing a frustration, you can't just react based on how you feel at the time. Emotions are good for affection. They are not good for decisions. So if I'm in love with my wife, it's okay to go crazy in my emotions with her. But when it comes to decision making, I can't allow my emotions just go. I need to stop and analyze what I'm going through to get the right interpretation of that frustration so that I can respond the right way. Emotions are great for affection, for love, but they are not great for decision making. Let me give you an example. How many of you know if you wait 10 minutes before you reply a text or a chat or a comment, if you wait 10 minutes, you will give a better response? Just 10 minutes. But if you respond in the heat of the moment, when you just saw that chat, you say, bastard, it's not going better for you. What do you mean? Who are you? And if you check, if you read that text one day later, you find that it might not have meant what you read and what you. Has it happened to you before? You read it in your way. You thought the person was insulting you. No, the person was asking a question. But because you was in the heat of emotion, you gave him fire for fire. Only to read it later and see that this person wasn't really insulting you. But I don't already insult and back. That's emotions for you. And that's how many people react to their frustration. Once they see the frustration, in the heat of the moment, they just make a conclusion. In the heat of the moment, they say, it's over. We are not in a relationship again. I'm not marrying again. I'm not doing again. It's over. Because they are responding in the heat of their emotion. Are you here, somebody? So, what I'm trying to coach you to do today is that whenever you see frustration, please try not to react immediately. Don't make a conclusion quickly. Let your emotions simmer down. Look at it well. Analyze it well. If you are too stressed out, suspend decision making till you have rested and you can look at it with fresh eyes. Somebody catching this? It might look simple, but trust me, exit is might not be the only way. There are some times that exit is the right decision. But you see, before you exit, you need to be looking at it from a reflective point of view. Because even when you are exiting, you need to be sure that you are not the problem. There are many things to have checked before you come to that point of exit. Not just some of you. So, if you're a Nigerian, you have already, you know, frustration is almost normal here. I'm sure 98% of Nigerians have considered relocating. 98%. The remaining 2% are the people frustrating us. That's why they want to stay. The remaining 98% of us want to relocate. Am I correct? Or at least have given it a serious thought. And wouldn't it be nice if all of us in this church, I just get fake Canada Visa machine. And all of us gather like this in service, and I stamp all of you, pam, 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 pam. And we all go to one country, maybe Canada or US, and just arrive like this and continue service. I mean, wouldn't that be great? 98% of us have given serious thought to relocating. The other 2% are the ones frustrating us, so they're not going anywhere. Exit. Now, there are people that it was in the heat of traffic, they just said, in short, I'm leaving this country. It's traffic. It's traffic. You see, that's default. That decision came out of your frustration. That's not how it's supposed to be. Your frustration itself is not what gives you direction. Your frustration is just a pointer that you need direction. Somebody get what I'm saying? Because if you are not careful, your frustration will be the one giving you direction, and it will point you to the wrong thing. When you are tired and exhausted, you are magnifying things you should not magnify, and you are minimizing things you should not minimize. It's like Esau, very hungry, desperately hungry. They are telling him about Batrite. He said, what am I going to use Batrite to do? My brother, leave this Batrite thing. Who Batrite help? You see, at that time of that pressure, Batrite looked useless. He was frustrated, hunger. Same thing with Elijah. Elijah's son is still one of the saddest for me. Anointed man of God. Called down fire from heaven, raw fire. Not this Holy Ghost fire people do in church today. Raw one. Immediately after that, something frustrated him. And he got so frustrated that he wanted to exit. He said, I'm not doing again. Do you understand? He said, I'm not doing again. And you notice that God was doing his best to try to pet him. God gave him food. God told him to sleep. What he was lacking was rest. The frustration was a pointer of a real problem, but the frustration wasn't what was going to give him direction. He responded to the frustration and said, I'm leaving this world. I'm leaving my post. I'm leaving my job. He said, I'm not going to be prophet again. God gave him food. He slept. Gave him food. He slept. They were. I noticed God was just trying to get him rejuvenated. He was tired. When you are tired, you are not thinking well. That's why you can't make decisions in the heat of emotions. He said, I'm not doing. I'm not doing. And they begged him and begged him and begged him, fed him and fed him and fed him. He still insisted, I'm not doing. And God says, fine, you can resign. He was never meant to resign at that time. Obviously. Because he didn't die. He didn't die. The angels came to carry him. Why did the angels come to carry him? Very simple. You need to understand this. There are some anointings that two of it can't be on two people at the same time on the earth. Somebody understand what I said? There are some anointing that only one person must carry it. And if one person is carrying it and is not going to do the work, they will have to remove that person so that they can carry their anointing and put on somebody else. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You know, the Bible says the gift and the coin of God are without repentance. It means he can't take it from you while you are still here. So he's going to have to call you home to give another person the baton. It's only one baton for every assignment. So when Elijah kept insisting he had to go, God said, okay, you know what? Resign. God could have said, just be alive and not be doing ministry again. But it can't work like that. So he said, you have to come. He didn't die. Elijah didn't die. He wasn't old. He wasn't sick. He didn't die. They came to carry him in chariots. And God told him, anoint Elisha to take your place. Elisha was just in the reserve bench. Those of you that are regular in church, you know that we have a message called God's reserve bench. God always has people on reserve. You see, God is too detailed. God is too detailed not to have a backup plan. God can't be taken unawares. You can't frustrate God's purpose. You can only frustrate yourself out of the purpose. Oh, somebody didn't get what I said. You can't frustrate what God wants to do. What he wants to do, he will do. You can only frustrate yourself out of the plan. But he will just look for another person and another way. Esther taught us that. Mordecai, rather. When he told Esther that you are here for such a time as this. But he said, in case you mess up, he said, deliverance and enlargement will come from another place. Because that purpose of God must be fulfilled. It's just an offer they're giving you to be the one that will be used. If you refuse not to be used, they will step you aside and use another person. But the purpose will be what? Fulfilled. That's why you must always be humble. You must always recognize when God is giving you an offer. When they say, oh, we are buying new church property, it's an offer to support it. To give, you say, huh? Come again. You say, move aside. He will raise other people to do it. So your eyes will see it, but your hands will not partake of it. Somebody catching this. So Elijah kept shouting among to God. He said, God said, step aside. If human beings, why do you think abroad, you never see them take light in their important days? You don't see surgery going on and they use candle or they use lamp. Things that we do here normally. Or people's car break down and there's no spare tire. Abroad, they are so used to having backup plans. And if human beings can be that great, we went to a conference, we told you some years ago, abroad in Atlanta, some of our team in church, we went for a conference and they were telling us that before they did that conference, they counted how many people had registered and they calculated how many times the toilet will be flushed. That's human beings. Can calculate that much. They say if 1,000 people are coming and three of them use the toilet at the same time, how many times will the toilet be flushed? They're calculating it. But how many times have you been in events in Nigeria and there's a large crowd and the toilet breaks down? Yabi? When the toilet wasn't prepared for that kind of use. But they calculated. These are human beings. And imagine God. If human beings can plan for such a thing, why do you think God himself doesn't have backup plan for a backup plan for the backup plan for the backup plan? Hallelujah. So if one plan fails, there's another plan. If another one fails, there's another one. So God always has reserve. Always has reserve. Elisha would probably never have had a chance if Elijah stayed on. It was when Elijah said he was tired out of frustration. God said, there's another person. And usually God's reserve bench, people on reserve are usually better than the people playing. In normal football, you put your best players first and you bring in the weaker players to support. In God's reserve bench, in God's zone, the people playing are the weak people. He said, God uses the weak things and the foolish things. So he starts with his foolish people and his weak people. The stronger people are at the bench. Because without that, if he starts with the strong people, the smaller people will never have a chance. So it starts with the weaker people. It starts with the smaller people. The foolish people. He starts from there so that you can have a fair chance. And if you mess up, he will introduce somebody better than you. I've never seen God replace somebody with somebody worse than the person that was there. He replaced. Elisha did 2 times the miracles that Elijah did. Elijah did about 16 miracles. Elisha did about 32 miracles. Better than Elijah. Same thing with David and Saul. Saul was the greatest king. Saul was the first king. Tall, handsome, soldier, brilliant, agile. What did Mopo say? What do Mopo call themselves? Gallant. Gallant Mopo. He was a solid guy. Tall. They said everybody's shoulder. Everybody's head was on his shoulder. That's how tall he was. He was a very, very royal looking king. Everybody tripped for him. Can you imagine if everybody's head were reaching your shoulder? Imagine how tall. I know women know this. I see tall, dark, handsome. Plus rich. But as time went on, he began to mess up. And while he was messing up, David was warming up. By the time they were going to replace them. Because like I told you, if you notice, they anointed David, but he couldn't take over. Because the anointing was still on Saul. The main office was still on Saul. Do you understand? So David could not do anything, even though he was potentially anointed, but he couldn't get the anointing to operate. They had to remove Saul before he could ascend. That's how it works. When the spirits of a work can't be on 2 people at the same time, one has to exit. By the time David came, he made us not even remember Saul ever was there. David could sing. David could dance. David could write poem. David could play musical instrument. David could use catapult. Saul would have just stayed humble. See, the person waiting on the bench for you is better than you. You better hold your place with honor and humility. That your ushering you are doing, do it well. There's somebody better than you. God is just giving you a fair chance to show yourself. By the time David finished, the women that were tripping for Saul, some weeks ago, they began to sing that Saul killed his 1,000, but David killed 10,000. Look at it. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Fans, you can't follow fans anywhere. All these fans clapping for you. When a new person calls, they will forget you. Praise God. Elijah got so frustrated, he said, I'm not doing again. So he wasn't actually supposed to die. It was that spirit of exit. He was treating his frustration giving exit as the best reaction to the frustration. Come on, say, I hear now. So you must trust God not to quickly say exit is the best way. Think about it first. Divorce might not be the best thing. Running away might not be the best thing. Relocating might not be the best. Some of you, yes, that might even be what God wants you to do, but you need to be sure God is saying you should do that. Don't do that because you entered traffic one day and your head was hot. Somebody gets what I'm saying? I'm trying to say sometimes you need to find out what gave birth to the decision. It might just be, NEPA just took light in the middle of something important you were doing. You just say, I'm leaving this country. Is NEPA frustration that is inspiring you? You see, when you do like that, by the time you go there, you will not be walking in purpose. You might be eating food, though, but you will lose your soul. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? They're not talking about going to hell. They mean something in you. There will be that fulfillment that won't be there. Hallelujah. So exit might not be the best thing. Don't that should not be your automatic reaction. Second thing, another thing people do is that they enter acceptance mode. Acceptance mode. Once they see a frustration, they reach a stage where they just believe, oh, this is normal. This is normal. Everybody is going through this. Then that means it's the only way. Is the only way. So what do I mean by this? You get to a stage where there's so much suffering, and you now get to a stage where suffering is normal to you. You adjust, you adapt. Listen, you can start from somewhere. You don't have to die at that place. You must not allow anything kill your desire to grow. Your greatest asset is your desire to grow and improve. Are you here, somebody? I see many people stay at a level and get... See, just because you have your parents' house to squat doesn't mean you should marry into that house. I will let that one sink. But there's some full-grown men now living in his father's BQ. He has renovated it. The way he renovated, you know he's not going anywhere. He's comfortable. He has gotten so comfortable, you know this guy has no future plans. Hey! That's what I'm talking about. Some people, they are frustration. They say, oh, our properties are expensive. Things are hard. I agree. You can even start from that BQ. I even agree. But the way you renovated it, it looks like you are not going anywhere again. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't get to that point where you become comfortable in your frustration. You've gotten so used. How many of you have seen people that the window of their car maybe doesn't wind down well or something, and they've already bought things they used to cover it, things they used to manage it. You will see that this guy has made plans to stay here a long time. You're getting comfortable. Somebody gets what I'm saying? Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable in that frustration. That's what people do. They get to the stage where they are used to it. They get used to it. No less anything stop your drive to grow. There's always more lands to conquer. Hallelujah. Be like Caleb. He said, give me this mountain. He said, 40 years ago, we conquered this land. He said, and we're very young and all that. I said, but now I'm still strong. Give me another mountain to conquer. Hey, I release the spirit of Caleb upon you in the name of Jesus. No matter how far you've gone, you will not stop going forward. in the name of Jesus. There is always another mountain to conquer. Spirit of Caleb, he said, give me this mountain. He was 80 years old. He said, 40 years ago, we were young guys. Look at this. He said, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. He said, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore do what? Give me this mountain. Hallelujah. Give me these mountains. Hallelujah. So we go and drive them out. They had already conquered their first land 40 years ago. But 40 years after, everybody was comfortable, but Caleb was not satisfied. You can be content, but don't be satisfied. Oh, there are two different things. You must be content and not satisfied. I'll say it again. You must be content, but not satisfied. Content means you are happy with where God has brought you to. But you know that you're not going to die there. You know that that's not the best God can do. God can still do more. Hallelujah. Because he said the path of a just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. Shines brighter. If God didn't give you, the way you renovated that big queue, I'm scared, my brother. In your mind, you think the big queue is the best God can do for you. Because your father's big queue. You are now junior dad in the house. Junior husband in the house. Oh, you can start from the big queue. I totally agree. But you must keep your spirit of growth alive so that you can press into bigger things. Are you here, somebody? There's a story of a guy called Issachar. I think it's Genesis 49. When Jacob was prophesying to his sons. Genesis 49, I think, from verse 14. From verse 14. They said, Issachar is what? A strong ass. Listen. Issachar was a strong person. That means he had potential. He was strong. He said Issachar was a strong ass. They were using us to, you know, describe him. He wasn't really a donkey, you understand? He's a human being. But they're saying he's strong, but he likes stress. He gets used to stress. Somebody getting what I'm saying? Who told you you have to get a job that you must be in traffic going and traffic coming? See, it's either you get a job close to you or you move close to the job, but you don't have to accept where you are. I don't know if somebody gets what I'm saying. There's a couple that they were having quarrel in their marriage, meet counselor. Counselor said, what's wrong? He said, every time in the night, when we want to talk, we are both tired. He said, where do you live? He said, where do you work? He says, move nearer to your work. If you get home earlier, you have energy to even talk to your wife. You are already frustrated from road. By the time you come home, the only person you have to pour out your frustration on is your spouse. She said, good morning. He said, what's good about this evening? What is good now? So you just pour out. You don't have to accept it. Whatever is going on now is fine. Be content for it, but it doesn't have to be the end of your story. Oh, man. Go back to Issachar. They say, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between what? Two bodies. Two heavy loads. Look at the next verse. He said, and he saw that the rest was good. It wasn't real rest. He was saying he got comfortable with that level. He said, and the land that where he was actually pleasant. He said, and he bowed his shoulder to carry these loads. And he became a servant unto tribute. He got so comfortable with servanthood. There are some of you that you need to start dreaming of owning your own business. You have gotten so used to being paid a salary. Meanwhile, you have the potential to be paying that salary to somebody else. Or somebody understand what I said. But you know, you can get so comfortable with that salary. It's not very convenient, though, but you have adjusted to it. Meanwhile, God is battening you a desire to step out. Somebody getting what I'm saying? So, two wrong reactions people give automatically, which might not be right, is one, to exit. Number two, to adjust and accept it. So, what should be my... What is frustration trying to tell me? Number one, frustration is trying to tell me maybe I'm doing something wrong. Like I've told you, frustration itself is not the problem. It is drawing your attention to the problem. So sometimes frustration might be telling you you are doing something wrong. Don't see frustration as your enemy. Don't even see it as something to accept. See it as something calling your attention that what am I doing wrong? Have the courage to wonder, say, what am I doing wrong? If I'm frustrated so much, I might be doing something wrong with my finances. I might be doing something wrong with my relationships. Is it I don't relate well? You have dated 4 people and broken up 4 people and you think they are all wrong. No, you are the common denominator. You understand what I'm saying? Because some people say that all the time. You know, men has come, men are dogs. Which men? Which ones are you dating? All men are dogs. When did you test all men? Who sent you to be testing all the men? You see, it's because something is wrong with the quality of men that you are testing. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? See, this marriage thing, some feel to see it like a business. Not a business to earn financial income, but a business to earn satisfaction. Don't marry down, marry up. Do you understand? I was talking to one of my boys today. By the time he described the person, he was there. There's one guy I was looking at. But something, I said, you're looking at the wrong person. You must look for somebody that can help your weaknesses, not somebody that will fuel your weaknesses. Somebody get what I'm saying? For me, standard. Pastor M is going to do the list in LDA, coming LDA. For me, standard. Something I must be on my own list. You must have job. You can't be loving somebody, no job. Ah? Huh? When do you have time for love? When you are not working? A stable source of income is important for me. I can't marry someone that you want to paint your nails, you will call me. You want to take transport, you everything, you will call me. No, I don't do like that. You must be working. Hallelujah. Two must be better than one. Standard. You must work. What are you doing with your life? Waiting for a spouse is not a job. And it's for both men and women. Because there are some men that are sitting down waiting for a woman to take care of them. See, this thing is a transaction. It's very easy. I must check what you two are bringing to the table. Not that you're just loafing, but you are in love. Love what? Are we going to give love to the landlord? Are we going to give love to school? Our school fees? Say, what is your school fees? Say, we are in love. Come on, say, I hear now. A job is a standard. All right. So, frustration might mean check what you are doing wrong. It might mean check whether you are doing something right, but the wrong way. Okay? Number one, you might be doing something wrong. That's number one. Frustration is trying to tell you might be doing something wrong. Number two, you might be telling you are doing something right, but you are doing it wrongly. You are doing something right, but you are doing it what? Wrongly. I will give you rough examples. Some women are trying to advise their husband, which is something right, but they're trying to advise him as if he's their child. Something, they're doing the right thing wrongly. Say, you have come again. You can't see your mate. Is this how you are doing it? They're doing it. So even when he knows you are right, he will just take a defensive stance because you are attacking his ego. So he has left the issue to defending his ego. He knows you are right. He's wrong, but he will keep going. Just to prove you wrong. So you are doing the right thing, but you are doing it what? Wrongly. Somebody gets what I'm saying? Frustration. If you are a betting champion here, you still bet. All of us like to make money without working. And trust me, it's not even a bad thing. It's called investment. So you are doing the right thing by wanting to make money without work. It's good. You've not started enjoying life until you can be sleeping and alert is entering. Everybody must dream to get to that stage where you don't always have to work to earn. If you always have to work to earn, it means work can kill you. Because if you need more money, you work more and you die. There are people that do work morning and night abroad because they need more money. So God too created you to want to prosper while you are sleeping. That's fine. But there's a right way. You can't be looking for quick ways to do it. Gambling, MMM, things like that. The desire is correct, but the application is wrong. Next thing, frustration might be telling you that you are doing the right thing, but with the wrong person. You are doing it with somebody wrong. Relationship and marriage. You want to marry, you want to have a good home, but you are doing it with the wrong person. As a counselor, I've seen many men reject advice, helpful advice from their wife. The wife is trying to help him. He's trying to frustrate her help. So she's the right person, doing the right thing, but with the wrong person. Last one under this one. Sometimes frustration is telling you you are looking at something wrongly. Same thing, but you are looking at it what? Wrongly. Wrongly. Hallelujah. Wrongly. Let's imagine you work somewhere, they pay you 50K every month. And 1 month, your boss comes and said, this month I'm not paying you your 50K, I'm paying you 25K. Your first reaction is to be frustrated. Then he tells you, because I'm saving your other 25K for you. And in 3 months, I'll add if you do that, I'll add one last 25K for you free. All of a sudden, that first information is a great information. Am I correct? Before that time, it looked like a bad information. How many of you might tell you, hey, I'm going to give you rice, white rice, no stew, just palm oil, a little palm oil, a little salt and pepper. You say, yuck, what kind of ugly food is that? But you find out that you've not eaten for 1 week. Suddenly that rice will be the sweetest thing in this life. Frustration can be like that. Sometimes you are looking at the thing wrongly. If you get better perspective, you will actually see that this thing is not totally bad. There's a way I can work around it. So looking at things the wrong way. So what do I do with my frustrations? What do I do in the midst of frustration? Very simple. I'll run through that before we close. Number one is prayer. Always pray. By prayer, I don't necessarily mean it must be long, prolonged prayer. Which, that on its own, that one is good, of course. But I'm saying sometimes you need to just stop, relax, and ask God what you should do. Don't react in your flesh. Most times your flesh will give you wrong reaction. That's your emotions. So relax and look at it and say, what am I missing? Most times, God wants to download wisdom that will give you peace. He will download wisdom that will bring you out of that situation. If you are financially frustrated, there's a way to go. Fraud and 419 is not the way to go. That's what your flesh wants to do, to steal somebody's money. But there's a way God can legitimately bless you if you calm down and look well. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? God can never run out of ideas. He has too many money-making ideas that he can pour out to you if you will calm down and not react in the flesh and go and borrow and go and beg and go and steal. Hallelujah. So stop and pray. Stop and pray and say, hey Lord, I'm frustrated in my marriage. What am I missing? What should I do? What am I doing wrongly? I'm frustrated. What should I do? That calmness to pray always introduces ideas. Hallelujah. God has ideas. Second thing you can do. Talk to mentors. Talk to what? Mentors. Mentors or people that are experienced. A lot of the thing frustrating you, somebody knows something that will get you out of it. I see too many people. See, it's a crime To be surrounded by people succeeding, in fact, let me say it this way. Number one, it's a crime to be struggling and everybody around you is struggling. You are in the wrong crowd. And if you get what I'm saying, that's laziness. It's laziness that you have five friends, all of them are broke. And you people are maintaining your tight friendship. Ah, that's the wrong crowd. Then it's also a crime that you have friends succeeding and you are in their midst and you are not succeeding. It means you are proud. You are pretending to be okay. I always run into people like that. They will be amongst people making it. They can't share their concern. They can't share where they're having difficulty. They're just pretending they're fine. Say, yes, yes, we're all doing okay. No! No! Talk to people that have gone ahead of you. Many people are experienced, they've already experienced what you are experiencing. So tapping into their mind, and it takes humility for you to ask, it takes also humility for them to share. They need to see your humility. Are you here, somebody? For instance, there are so many things that will happen to you in life that if you talk to an expert or somebody experienced, they will put you through. It's not as frustrating. I don't know if I shared it here. How that the battery in my truck died. So the car could not even enter gear. And it was parked in a way that we couldn't even go and bring another battery to jumpstart it. So we had to even move it from where it was to get to jumpstart it. I didn't know. I couldn't move it. But a principle I have in life is that most times when I'm interested in somebody, I have made friends. Listen, so if you don't know about, I told you on Sunday, relationships is a currency, it's like money. Somebody gets what I'm saying? Friendships can do what money can do. In fact, it can do more. Because there are some people, see, how many mechanics can you call at 10 in the night to start coming to your third mainland? If it's just your normal mechanic that you only pay money, he won't leave his house. But if it's your real friend, somebody you're close to, he won't feel at peace leaving you there. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Many of you don't value relationships. Everything I've been involved with or interested in, I have friends there that go out of their way. When I was a dog person, when I had so many dogs, my vet was not just my vet, he was my friend. I get what I'm saying. It was dog that brought us together. But I didn't leave it at vet and patient or customer level. My friend, so because of that, he always gives me extra service, extra information, extra attention. He will stress himself to come and attend to me no matter when I call him. Even when office has closed. But I will call him. Because I know his house. He will leave his house and come. It's friendship. And he won't charge money because I'm calling him as a friend. You know, you get what I'm saying? Everything I do. So the same thing, if I'm a car person, I have friends that I can call. So the car wasn't entering there. I called my friend. I told him what was happening. He said, he's coming. He came from work. He went to work. Came from work straight to my house. He came and said, okay, it's not entering gear. He said, we can find out what happened. He went to the site. Check. He said, okay, there's something in the car. When the car is not entering gear, if you open something, you can manually change. You know, I didn't know all these things. So he just Googled it, checked it, opened something in the front of the car, put his hand and put the gear on neutral or reverse and removed the car. I didn't know those things, but I knew somebody that knew. When you have enough friends, you can never be frustrated. You can never be stranded. There's always somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. Are you here, somebody? Talk to people. People know what to do. Hallelujah. You are new at work. You are facing some crisis or challenges with your bosses. Some people have gone through the same thing. They can give you sound advice. You must have people you can call and say, hey, when you're facing so and so thing in the office, what do you do? And they say, do this and this and this. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, you are starting a relationship. That's why we insist. We insist on some things. We insist on counseling. We insist on even premarital counseling. You even tell somebody before you start. There are some of us that we can tell that this relationship is not going anywhere before it starts. We can tell these people I'm seeing, you're not going anywhere. But the guy is in love. The guy is in love. Woo-hoo. We can tell a guy is using you. We can tell a girl is just using you. I counsel all kinds of people. I sent one to Pastor Mildred. She had given this boy iPhone 7 or something like that. iPhone 7. And the guy doesn't use the phone to call her. Say, he doesn't call me. Somebody say, why didn't you tell her to go and collect? When I canceled her, I knew that she can't even go and collect the phone. If she goes to collect the phone, the guy will just, she will buy credit. I said, don't even go there. Go home. Go. Leave the phone. But if you go there, they'll collect more things from you. There is nothing new under the sun. Everything you are facing, people have passed through it. They can show you the way. They can tell you what to expect. The things that frustrate you are things you are not expecting. Do you know there are people that NEPA and light frustrates them? Meanwhile, we have people that come from abroad that have never seen darkness. They come here and succeed. Why? They have been adequately prepared. They know, they've already told them where you are going. There's no light. So they're prepared. But you now, you're forming that is light that's cleaning your business. Didn't you know there's no light here? New couple, you are just meeting for the first time, you're in love. Every relationship goes through 7 stages. The first stage is the honeymoon stage. Honeymoon stage is not real. It's a fake stage. At that time, you guys can't talk, you can't get enough of each other. You are chatting 24 hours a day. From morning, it's her call or chat that wakes you up. Are you awake? Say, no, it's my ghost answering you. It's my ghost. Then the night, she's also the last person that will chat. So you are talking 24 hours. As he's driving, he's chatting. As he's eating, he's chatting. As he's, enjoy. Because that same person, a few months down the line, a whole day, he won't even call you. And he will say, I'm busy. You think he was just newly busy? It's because honeymoon stage has finished. Honeymoon stage is stage. At that stage, you don't see anything bad in the person. You see all his good aspects. He's tall. Even his hair cut. I like his hair cut. I like her. You like everything 100%. Say, there's anything you don't like? Nothing. This is a perfect person made by God for me. Thank you. From honeymoon, because everybody puts their best foot forward. You're only seeing all the great things. Honeymoon stage is shocking. You can't even eat. You are not hungry again. Because you are filled with the love chat he sends you. After honeymoon stage, the next stage is reality stage. At that point, you begin to see well. You begin to find out that his words don't line up very well. I thought he said he went to UI. Why is he talking about Ekboma? Is it not UI? He said it. Things are not looking very straight again. You find out that he's always late. We're going out by 4, by 6. He has not come. So I'm close to you. I'm on my way. Reality. Find out he snores. Find out she's always broke. She never has money. Find out she has many uncles that are not from the same tribe. Then you start seeing that she's not prudent with money. 10K, she can spend it in 1 minute. You start seeing reality. From reality stage, you go to criticism stage. Because by then, you are now sharing your mind. You are tired of not saying your mind. You are now saying your mind. Why are you like this? You are always lying. You are always late. You are always dirty. You are always eating. You are always this. If you want to hear the remaining stages, wait till I preach the message. Praise God. So basically I'm saying, there are people, some of us already know where you are going. We've been through there. We know what you will face. Do you know sometimes having your first child can shake a marriage? If you're not well brought up. First child, if you're not prepared, boom! All your honeymoon will end. Because that first child is sucking the woman's breast, sucking the man's money. And you are not prepared for that shock. So all the woman's attention is on that baby. She's not sleeping well at night. She's breastfeeding throughout the night. Is it in the day she will not be seeing you? She has not gotten herself. And if it's a boy, you give battle. He's sucking from every angle. So she's still trying to adjust her life to sleeping and waking up and staying awake all night, and the baby's crying. Then you two want to be crying, husband. Say, look, be careful. But the man too is crying financially. He's crying. He doesn't have any attention from his wife. Because wife, so if you're not careful, at that time, it shakes many marriages. Somebody needs to coach you. I said, this is what to do, this is what to do, this is what to do. When you hit 5-year mark in marriage, there's what to do, there's what happens. When you hit 10 years mark, 20 years, all, there are things that happen. When a man hits a certain age, there are things that happen to him. When a man starts hitting 40 and above, he starts checking if he has done something worthy with his life. White people call it midlife crisis. He begins to wonder if he's living the best life, if he's making the most of his life. So as a woman, if you don't understand that, you will think he's just being moody. Why is he not always talking? Because he's at a stage of his life where he's reflecting. So you need to understand and give him space and be understanding. Not that, tell me what you're thinking. What are you thinking? So all those things, there are many, many things. There are many stages of life. There are many stages of life. When you are hitting 40 and above, you need to start preparing for health changes. If you're a woman, your body too will start changing. If you're a man, your body will start changing. If you're not well prepared, there are things you should eat more of and things you eat less of. When you are 18, if you want to pee in the toilet, you can stand here and be peeing where the keyboard is. From here, psh. Every 5 years you add, you move 5 feet nearer. When you're 25, you move nearer. 35, you move. 45, you have to stand inside the bowl. Or else, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And I'm warning you women in advance. When he's entering 55, by that time, he's playing like Ryan Giggs and Vincent Kompany. You bring them 5 minutes to the end of the match. Don't expect him to play 90 minutes again that he used to play. If you don't understand what I'm saying, it's fine. So women understand that. When he was 25, he goes the full 90 minutes. When he's 55, he must be on reserve bench and you bring him when the match is almost ending. At 65, he can sleep anytime. Before 65, he's the one that chooses when to sleep. After 65, sleep chooses when to him. So he can be doing something like, and that sleep, don't do it with dignity. When he was younger, he sleeps with dignity. And you will take his picture. Now, and the sweat is coming out from here. So those are changes. Hallelujah. It's the reality, amen. So just talking to people that have gone ahead of you can help you. Hallelujah. Can help you. Can help you remove frustrations. Praise God. I've been blessed tonight.